Well, a little different take on Herod, perhaps, but let's read what Scripture has about this story. It's in Matthew chapter 2, verse 12 verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet Micah, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you found him, bring word to me, that I may too come and worship him." And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures and offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Father, as we read that and as we are reminded of a story that many of us have read many times before, Father, this morning we come eager that you would open that up to us in fresh ways, that we would see what it would say to us today, what it would say to us about joy, what it would say to us about how we would live our life in this coming year and in this season. So, Father God, we pray, speak. We come with open hearts and open ears to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Sermon notes in your bulletin if you want to follow along. And we start with this introduction, this idea that, maybe we all have a goal in life. We're all on a journey, like those magi, those wise men, those kings. We're all on a journey, and we're all on a journey to something. We have a goal in mind. The psychologists tell us that everybody has a similar makeup, that we're all designed to seek pleasure and avoid pain. The thing is, we don't define pleasure the same way. We don't all receive pleasure the same way. And for happiness, it comes in different forms. For some of us, we're looking for wealth. For some of us, maybe power. For some of us, pleasure. Maybe for what we know or who we know. Maybe for God. We're searching for something. We're on a journey towards something. We're on a journey towards happiness. And the challenge with happiness is, happiness is always because of something. Because I have this, I'm happy. Because this has happened, I'm happy. And the challenge with that is that things never stay the same for long. And so our happiness is always somewhat fleeting. It's always in danger of disappearing. And the Bible doesn't talk a lot about happiness. It talks a lot about joy. And the difference between joy and happiness is, if happiness is because of, joy is in spite of. Joy is what happens when we have a right relationship with God, when things are with God and us. Then God gives us a peace that passes understanding. He gives us a joy in the midst of maybe problems and challenges. He gives us a sense of love and acceptance in the midst of maybe times of others pulling back. And the question comes, well, how do we find that kind of joy? And I think that's what the story of the wise men is all about, the story of the Magi. And it's a story of really three different groups of people and how they all look for this joy or happiness in different ways and what we can learn from them. And the first one of them is Herod. And Herod, as the king, was the guy that sought pleasure. So we read some of that story already. Herod was the king when the wise men came. And they came to him and said, "Where is he that has been born king of the Jews? We've seen his star when it rose. We've come to worship him." And then it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So in the Bible, we have a couple of Herods, but this particular Herod only appears in two places. He appears in Luke, and he appears in one verse in Luke where it says, in the days of Herod, Mary had a baby. That's all Luke has about him. Mark and John don't mention him at all. And Matthew has this passage. So this is what we know from the Bible about Herod. The good news is we know a lot about Herod from history because Herod was a king at a time when we have some pretty good records. And so we know quite a bit about this Herod. And we know that Herod loved three things. He went after three things. He valued three things. And the first one was power. So Herod's family had been born in this place called Idumea. And Idumea is kind of on the southern part of Israel. It's not part of Israel. They're sort of part Jewish and part not. And Herod's family had been a kind of nothing family, but his grandfather and his father had been military commanders that had some skill. And under the Romans, they had built up some power. And under the Romans, they had become fairly powerful. In fact, his father was fairly powerful. Unfortunately, he was poisoned in 43 BC, and he died. Over the next 6 years, there's a lot of intrigue going on. There's a lot of stuff happening. And out of the end of that, our Herod pops up as king. The Romans declare him king over Palestine, what we would call Israel, and he becomes the king of the Jews, even though technically he's not Jewish, or not full Jewish. And he's not of the tribe of David, which, you know, is important if you're going to be king in Israel. But for 33 years, from 37 BC till 4 BC, he reigns. Obviously, there's a little bit of a problem when they put the calendar together because Jesus was born 4 years before his birth, which makes him premature by more than most people. But that's the chronology that we know now that we didn't know when the calendar was laid out a few thousand years ago. But you have this king who's not Jewish, but he's king of the Jews. He's in power, but he's always unsure of how long that power is going to last. He's there at the pleasure of Rome, and as long as he keeps Rome happy, which means send lots of money back and make sure there's peace, as long as he has that, he has a job. As long as the people that he's trying to rule don't rebel against him. Because an uprising like that could do one of two things. One, they could succeed and he dies, or two, they just tick off the Romans and they toss him out. Neither one of those a great option. And so Herod becomes this ruthless guy. When you read the books, it says, you know, he killed three of his sons because he thought they were plotting against him. He killed his favorite wife. I think that's a great, I'm going to call Dawn that from now on. She's going to be my favorite wife. I just kind of like the way that sounds. But he did have 10, so, you know, he was entitled to have a favorite in all that nine that he didn't kill. But that was him, power. Second thing he loved was wealth. One of the reasons he loved power was he got wealth out of it. You tax people and then you send a bunch of it back to Rome, but you keep everything else. So he developed a tremendous amount of wealth. He became incredibly wealthy. He built palaces all over the place. He had this beautiful palace in Jerusalem. He had a palace in Caesarea on the coast. He had a palace by Masada, by the Dead Sea. He had palaces in other places. He lived this life where everything he wanted he could have in a society where almost everybody was starving to death, living day to day. If you didn't get work, you didn't get lunch. Herod had all this stuff. He had immense wealth. He had built this temple that we know of from Jesus' day. They had originally built a smaller one in the days of Nehemiah, if you remember that. But they had torn that one down and built this massive, great temple. He loved money and he loved to show it off. And the third thing he loved was he loved pleasure. He loved living in the palaces. He loved the food. He loved the women, apparently, when you got 10 wives. He loved all these things. He was narcissistic. He was messed up in all kinds of ways. Yeah, I was thinking about him. I thought, well, here he is. You got a narcissistic ruler, chased wealth and power, had multiple wives, probably shouldn't have been king. You know, it's a good thing times have changed so much from back in the day. But Herod had worked pretty hard militarily and politically to build up his stuff. And he had this position, and he was not about to give it up to someone else. And so when we open the Bible and we read that story and we hear about these wise men who come and innocently come into his presence and say, hey, by the way, do you know where this one who is born king of the Jews? And with that as the backstory, you start to see why Herod was troubled. And with Herod's personality, you start to see why all Jerusalem was troubled with him. Everything was about to break loose. Someone is pouring gas on an open fire, and all hell is about to break loose. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Herod the king heard this, and he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And Herod doesn't know the answer to the question. That troubled him as well. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, there was this prophecy about a Messiah who was going to be born. And Herod probably didn't believe in the prophecy, but it didn't matter if he believed in it. What mattered was, what did the people believe? Because if the people believe in the prophecy, maybe they're going to start the uprising to make whatever child they find king in his place. And so Herod, who sought pleasure but knew little else, had at his disposal a group of people who were the priests and the scribes. These were the guys that sought knowledge. These were the guys that wanted to know everything about God and everything about the Bible. Herod was equipped for all kinds of things, but understanding the Old Testament, understanding God, understanding the Bible, that was not within his wheelhouse. But he had some people handy to hand who did. So he calls in these priests. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him right off the top, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it's so written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So you got the priests and the scribes, maybe like the really pastors of the big large churches and the professors in the seminaries and universities. So, I mean, the guys that really know their stuff. And he calls to them and he says, hey, do you know where this is going to go? And they, man, like this, that's Micah. This is like entry-level stuff, Herod. And they tell him, okay, this is where it's going to be. It's going to be in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem just happens to be, they say 10 miles, I would say 10 kilometers, but it's not very far from Jerusalem. It's an afternoon's walk. And so as he gathers these people together, they tell him from Micah where the child is going to be born. The quote comes from Micah 5:2 there. And and what happens to the priests? Well, this is the only story we got of this, so I've read you everything we know. And the interesting thing is, and the priests disappear out of the story at this moment. You would think that if they thought prophecy was being fulfilled, they thought the Messiah was going to come, you would think they would maybe show a little interest. Maybe even enough interest to grab a cab or an Uber or something down to Bethlehem. It's only 10 kilometers away. Let's go check this out. But they don't. They just drift out of the story. And it's as if they wanted to know everything about God, but they didn't know God. It's as if they wanted knowledge about God, but they didn't have any kind of relationship with God, at least not enough to get them to go down and worship. And they just fade out of the story. As Herod, in lots of ways, will fade out of the story. And as you look at that story, you think to yourself, I've seen this story somewhere before. It's totally different, but it's got the same shape. And the shape of the story is something happens, and then three groups of people respond to it, and there's a surprise in how it turns out. And I want to suggest to you the shape of that story is the same shape as the Good Samaritan. In the Good Samaritan, a guy is going down to Jericho and he gets mugged, and a priest comes by and does nothing, and a Levite comes by and does nothing, and then this foreigner, this Samaritan, comes by, and he's the one that actually responds. And in this story, a baby is born, and King Herod of the Jews kind of goes by, and then the priests and the Levites go by, and then the foreigners, the Gentiles, the people from Babylon, the Magi, they're the ones who respond, which is the next point in the thing. That where the priests sought knowledge and Herod sought pleasure, the Magi came seeking God, seeking the King of the Jews, seeking this baby. And it comes back from the start of the story there in the verses that are there. When Jesus was born, these wise men came. Where is he that's been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star and have come to worship him. And the interesting thing in the story is that not only does the Old Testament, not only does Micah predict the coming of the Messiah, the heavens declare it, the heavens show it. They followed the star from somewhere back east. We're thinking maybe Babylon, somewhere around there anyway. They're from a culture and a place, these Magi, that value astrology. They value the stars. They believe that everything is written in the stars. Your future can be read from the stars. If an event happens in the stars, something has happened on Earth. And if something happens on Earth, you'll find it somewhere in the stars. They somehow mirror and parallel each other and predict each other. And they come because they see that. And here's the fascinating thing that I think is sort of just a sidebar on this, but it's really interesting to me. It's that when God speaks to these guys, he speaks to them through the stars. Now, when he speaks to the shepherds, he'll speak to them through angels. In spite of the carol that we just sang, there is no star in the shepherd's story. Because stars don't fit into the shepherd's thing. They don't believe that God speaks through stars. They're Jewish. Jewish people didn't have stars and astrology as part of their culture. When God wants to speak, he speaks in the language of the people he wants to call. And because the Magi were star worshipers, he speaks through the stars. To Mary and Joseph and all these guys, he speaks through angels and visions and dreams, but never a star. So they follow the star, and I just think God speaks today to people. He speaks to us through creation. He speaks to us through illness. He speaks to us through babies being born. He speaks to us through these kind of things. And so they follow the star, and they make it to Jerusalem, and they find out from Herod where they need to go, that they're less than 10K or 10 miles from their destination. These Gentile men of power have come to worship. And here's the second half of that. God spoke to them through a star. But here's the interesting thing. The star got them to Jerusalem. The Bible got them to Bethlehem. And I think the thing about God speaking to us is when God speaks and he talks to us through creation, he talks to us through the birth of a baby, he talks to us through illness or something else maybe, when God starts to reveal himself to us, we get to know God. But you don't get to know Jesus. You don't get to know that God made you to be a very special person, that God made you to have a relationship with him. You don't get from the stars that God made you to be in this relationship and that you've turned away from him, that you've sinned, that you've broken that relationship and you can't fix it. You don't get from the stars that God is going to send his son to earth to be born in the manger, to grow up, to die on the cross, to rise again, that we can be forgiven, that we can have a relationship with God that will last for eternity. The star can get you to Jerusalem, but it's the Bible that gets you to Bethlehem. It's the Bible that gets you to Jesus. And the wise men follow the star. They get their guiding. They come down to Bethlehem. The star is still in that story. But now they're on their way to Bethlehem. And now the joy that we've talked about is about to break out. So, three groups of people, all following something, all pursuing something. Herod pursuing pleasure. Herod pursuing wealth and power. Priests pursuing knowledge, wanting to know more. Magi pursuing the one who was born King of the Jews. And the question comes, well, what do they get as a result of that? Well, the religious leaders responded to Herod's questions of the prophecies, and the result of all their knowledge was just indifference. They didn't care. They didn't go down to worship. They didn't show any interest. They gave the right answer, and then they disappeared off the pages. They knew all about God, but they didn't know God. And there's a danger in that in our lives too. And they didn't bother going the 10K or 10 miles to find out and worship. Herod responded to the news with trouble. His heart was troubled. The problem with pursuing wealth and power and pleasure is that they're fleeting and our hearts are troubled. The trouble with pursuing wealth is the economy can change and the stock market can be down and we can be in a correction and a recession and everything else and our hearts get troubled. When you have power, you have to be constantly making sure that no one is coming in to take it away. And Herod was constantly on his guard. And Herod's result was trouble. And the Magi who were seeking, Herod summons them. He had ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently. Bring me word that I too may come and worship, which wasn't true, but that wasn't a problem for him either. And after listening to the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped and opened their treasures of gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So you see that passage there, it says, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. New Testament was written in Greek, and those are four words about joy that just layer up on each other. It's not just they had joy, it's not just they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It's just this response that they had was a response of joy. Where some were troubled and some were indifferent, they found the joy that they were seeking. And they found it by bowing down to Jesus. Finally, they're standing in the presence of God Himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, and that little baby in a manger. They're overwhelmed with emotion. They fall on their knees and they offer Him their gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold for a king. Frankincense comes from incense, which is what you burn before a god. Myrrh, which was what you used for burial. And it's these three gifts that have given us the idea that there were three of them. We don't know that. All we know is what we read, and it never has a number. We don't know that they're kings. We don't know there was three of them. What we know, well, we don't know the whole rest of the story that the Middle Ages filled in. You know that their names were Gaspar and Melchior and Balthazar and all this stuff. We know nothing of that. What we know is three wise men who studied stars were drawn to God. We don't know their names were Gaspar, Balthazar, Melchior. I mean, three wise guys that studied stars, their names could have been Howard or Sheldon or Leonard. You know, it could have been something totally different. But what we know is these guys were pursuing God. And at the end of it, they found this joy that overwhelmed them. Three groups of people all seeking their own thing. Three different responses to the birth of Jesus. Herod troubled. Priests and the scribes indifferent. But the Gentile wise men, they worship. And in worshiping, they find joy. It's a wonderful verse in Jeremiah that says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And it raises the question, what are you seeking with all your heart today? How do we pursue God? Are we pursuing pleasure or power, or knowledge or comfort, family? What if in this new year that is going to stretch out in front of us in a couple of weeks, what if we spent that year pursuing God? What if, like these wise men, we left behind some things that are not quite as important, and we spent our time seeking God, if we spent our time reading the Bible each day and praying each day so that we not only get to know about God, but we get to know God? What if we began to develop an intimacy and a friendship with Him? What if we began to worship Him and we began to develop this relationship with Him where we have His forgiveness and we have this relationship and we experience that deep love of God the Father for us? What would happen if we had that? I think we would begin to experience the joy that God has for us. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. What if we put God first? What if what we bowed down to was God? What if we brought our gifts to God? What if it wasn't just that we loved God, but we pursued everything else? What if God was at the heart of all that? What if we didn't just want God in manageable amounts, but we wanted all of God? We wanted Him to be the focus of our worship. And in our story today, we have these wise men, these magi, who pursue God. They travel in one direction for a long time, following the signs that God gives them, whether it's a star or whether it's biblical truth, until they can bow down and worship and rejoice with exceeding great joy. What if this year to come was like this field of snow where there's not a footprint? And what if we look behind us and there's the old year, and the snow there is trampled and the footprints seem to go in every direction because we've kind of wandered through the year a little bit. But what if in this coming year there was more of a direction, more of a pathway, more of a following after God? That when we seek Him, we will find Him. When we seek Him with our whole heart. And I think one of the lessons that the Magi can teach us this morning is that wise men seek God. Wise women seek God. Wise people focus their attention and their pursuit on God. It's an interesting story, isn't it, about kings? There's King Herod. There's maybe three kings, we don't know. And there is one who is born King of the Jews. This promise that God would send His Son to be the true King, the one who would rule in our lives, a King who would give up everything in heaven to come down to earth, to be born as this baby, to die on the cross for our sins that we can have forgiveness and a relationship with God. And then He invites us to pursue that. How many kings would do that? And yet God did it for us. And so, Father, as we come to the end of this, we just bow in prayer before You. Father, we ask You that You would help us to pursue You. Help us, Lord, to chase after You, to want to come and find you and worship you, and that you would fill us with your joy, that you would give us your peace, that you would let us know that we are loved so deeply. And we thank you that that baby who was born King of the Jews would grow up to be Jesus, who gave so much for us. Father God, help us to give our lives for you as well. In Jesus' name, amen.